कामों सर्व कामों व मोक्ष कामों
to spiritual world, then you have to. Now,
then the question is, you have material desire, then how? So here he is talking about broader intelligence. What is this broader intelligence? Broader intelligence means you need to know what is purpose of life. This is broader intelligence. Not knowing how to operate the computer, how that program is, or how the economy, analyst, I can analyze. These are not broad intelligence. These are all small intelligence in the material world, which you may require for your material needs. But this broader intelligence mentioned here, Bhagavatam, is something different. It's talking about spiritual. Spiritual understanding, that is, what is the purpose of life? And what is the basic principle of life? These are things which you need to know. Then only you are considered under the broader intelligence. And the other thing, once you know this basic principle of life and the purpose of life, then you are definitely going to come to a conclusion. And that conclusion will be, I came here to lord it over the material nature. That is the conclusion you should arrive. An intelligent person would immediately admit, yes, I came to this material world, but the purpose of life is one way, the basic is somewhere. But the basic, the objective of me coming here is my desire, and what is this desire? To lord it over the material nature. I want to squeeze every bit of anything that material enjoyment is there, I want it. So once our mind accepts this is called intelligence. Then we can come into talking about how we want to fulfill our desire. Now, even we came here for learning it over the material nature, that's fine, you are coming here. And we may have that desire. Then you develop desires. Even that material desire that we desire, that we are developing, cannot be fulfilled by our own endeavor. No material desire can be fulfilled by our own endeavor. The Lord has His hand in it. The Lord has to satisfy it. Although desire is ours, the purpose of coming, the reason we came here was also for that. But still, the desire cannot be fulfilled until and unless the Lord is satisfied. So therefore, our fundamental requirement is, we have to fulfill the Lord's desire. We have to fulfill the Lord's desire. Pleasing. That is what all this worship is all about. Otherwise, what for worship? Why worship? Of course, he is much higher than us, so therefore we worship him. That is bad. But otherwise, we are trying to please him by worshiping him. So here, he is giving you different methods for worship. Nevertheless, whatever desire you have, whatever anything, he has to fulfill. Even if you go to the devadas, you worship him, that's fine. But whatever they give you is also sanctioned by Krishna. If Krishna is not going to give, then there is no question. It is said in the Shastras that the moment we go to the devada for a particular kind of desire, okay, I want $1 million, I'm totally in debt and I'm having so much of problems, this and that. And according to our calculation, it says that if I have $1 million, I can go through. So therefore, I make a going, okay, my worship is to a particular devata, so I go down there and I ask, please, Mother Lord, please. This is what I'm going through. I'm in real deep trouble, and please keep me. You know what the Devadatta will be looking at, he will open up and you will start seeing your karma. Because material, everything that material comes to us is according to karma only, nothing else. You have already done your past, whatever you have already done, and now you are going to reap. So you will see, is there any reaping clause there for you? So if he finds no, if yes, alright, $1 million is written saying that in this particular time period you can get that much. Some big sum is written, alright anyway. But if it is written no, immediately the devil will turn to Krishna. My dear Lord, now I don't know what to do. This poor living entity, he doesn't know his destiny. He is coming and asking me for something which is not serving for me. What do I do? Then Krishna will give the instruction to him. So the devata, alright, you may give, no, may not give. Say no, for time being don't give. They won't give. And then we will be putting all our worries and what is this, I worship you with all, what, nothing. But they are not due to get it. So therefore he says no. But somehow or other he keep on coming again and again. Yoda, no choice, she has to go. So praise to Krishna again. Look there, what is this now? Friend is coming, so poor thing, you know, he's coming. Then Krishna says, alright, and he lets say Krishna changes his mind. He said, alright, he doesn't understand. He has no broader intelligence at all. He keeps on asking for something, he doesn't. Alright, give it to him. So he gets it through the demigod. So now he takes it and goes. Do you think he can use it? Goes there. On the right hand he gets, on the left hand takes it away and it goes. Before he realizes, all are gone. He doesn't stay. Because we don't have that karma to keep it. So then, you see, whatever that we are getting, either from the devas or from Krishna, it's all coming from Krishna. He has to sanction it. So, a broader intelligence person, he will know. I better pray. No, correct. Why should I go need? You know, when I can eat like this, why should I eat like that? Simple. He doesn't have to take all that trouble. So there goes. But then you have certain, you know, some people have a fear, for many, many years I've been doing this kind of worship. And now if all of a sudden I stop, then, you know, the devata is going to get very, very angry and he may, you know, cast some curse on me or make things difficult for me. In actual, it is not like that. Devata, he is very happy. He is very happy because even one, they are devotees. And they, even one person, they can bring to the Supreme Lord. They are very, very happy. It's something like a devotee, how he is going around and preaching. What for? To help the other person. Even one person can go back, the guru becomes so happy that my disciple has done a nice teaching. So when guru is pleased, you are pleased. So similarly, when Prabhupada is pleased, you will all be pleased. So we are trying to do this worship. So this broader intelligence is the key word in this verse. So if you have, normally it is, in one of Prabhupada lecture, he says that the broader intelligence is equated to devotees. Those who take some Krishna consciousness, they have some, they are, Krishna has really given them some intelligence. So, when we use this intelligence, then we get this idea of going to Krishna. Doesn't matter, you get, you don't get, that's only two things can happen. material desire, whether fulfilled or not fulfilled, that's all. If not fulfilled, still Krishna, if you go to Krishna, Krishna will show you a way out. The problem is we are demanding, when we demand, then Krishna actually, that means you have decided already, you know, for yourself. You don't want anybody else to decide. So if you don't want Krishna to decide, then Krishna will stay out. It's not my business. That is the problem. Instead of you going and telling, I need $1 million, that means you make an assessment of your problem and then you start telling, okay, for this I need so much, so add up together it will come to about $1 million. So comfortably if I get this, I mean, that is your perception. Our perception like that. But we find that this is the only way out. But for Krishna there are million ways out. Because he is the supreme, he can change anything, he can add on anything, he can give you anything. Even if you don't deserve it, he gives it to you and he says, no, that money is belong to you, you keep it. You deserve it. Means you deserve it, you will stay. Your karma is not an issue there. Right? Because this is no more on the karma base already. No more on the material platform. When you worship Krishna, he is on the spiritual platform already. No more material. Devadas are all material. So the worship of their worship also is on a material plane. But it's definitely a million times better than worshipping the ghost and the, all the other goblins and this and that. Or human beings, you know, all this. Crazy. See? So definitely it's better. But nevertheless, the highest form of worship is what Sukadeva Goswami is now mentioning here. So, with all this, Krishna is moderating. When you go to him, he moderates your desire. Certain things he gives you, certain things he doesn't give. And you learn to take it. Because when you know more about Krishna, who is he, everything, then who are we? Then we know, okay, he is making a decision for me. I am very certain that he is for my benefit. So, if his answer is a no, well, that's fine. Nothing to lose. So, to get that win-win situation is what Sukadeva Goswami is putting in here. And so, the next class, because there are three kinds of people, no? There are three kinds of people. So it's all these gross, sarva kamas, one. And the other one is akamas and the moksha kamas, three. So these sarva kamas already so much of desire and then he goes around trying to get him with his food, getting his desires. Then they become akamas. These akamas, no material desires. And there are people who have so much of material desires and eventually become so frustrated. Because even after getting all that, million, okay, I give you million. You take it. You take and go, you get more frustrated. Because why? It cannot be used according to his plan. He just went off. So he is now desperate. He is very, very desperate. So, he goes for another solution. He gets his desire, that desire, he multiplies and he keeps on asking and he keeps on getting. Because eventually, Krishna is also merciful, he will do. But as he keep on giving and you still cannot use it, frustration. Or even if he give you and he use it, you still see a problem doesn't end. Why? Because another problem comes. Because your fundamental problem is birth, death, old age, disease. Instead of tackling this problem, we are tackling problems of which we see immediately in our daily life. How are you going to solve? You solve one, next one comes. Then how? Go back again. Change. Now I need this time. Okay, this time. So forever he sees, no matter how I get, even how my worship prayers are fulfilled, still it doesn't work. I'm still always in frustration. I'm always in trouble. So what happens to these persons? They become very, very frustrated. And so he decides, material desire is all nothing, useless. I don't want all these things. I might as well give it up. But this kind of akama is temporary, is circumstantial. Because the circumstance is such, so you are accepting passing. Like, you know, some people grow old, or they are put into a terrible disease, and you have no choice, you have to accept it. You are old, you have to accept it. And therefore, in the under that circumstance, you find, no, I cannot be so lively like before. My senses like to, but somehow cannot hold. So we tend to succumb to the circumstances that we are put into. And then temporarily we accept, yeah, God, you are very nice, you God, there is God, there is God, very nice. I should pray to Him, I must make some meditation, I must wake up early in the morning, all this becomes. These are not out of any love or devotion or anything. It's circumstantially we are doing it. A broader intelligence person, he will correct it. And no, circumstance is only Krishna's way of showing me that I have to change because I am in the wrong path. I am supposed to be part and parcel of Him and I am serving. That is my prime duty. If that prime duty is not carried out, then what form of worship can help me? No form of worship can help me. So once we start getting this kind of realization, then we get the akama. That is to say, no point. No point of putting all this, so much desire onto any of the material things. It is limited, it is temporary, it will be gone in a matter of time. Then we realize, no, with no desire, we have many material desires, we have only. Does it mean no desire? Yes, there is desire. There will be spiritual desires. The material desire, once you take it out, then it creates a vacuum. And this vacuum has now been filled up with spiritual desires. What are the spiritual desires? It is our prime duty. Fulfilling our prime duty. That's all. We don't kill, we try and fulfill Krishna. What He wants. Yes, I am having tons of problems. I am having so much of material problems, anxieties. But Krishna, it's all due to Me. I did it, I deserve it. Nevertheless, My Lord, You are My Supreme Personality. You are My Master. And I am Your servant, and I have to take shelter of You. That is My right. As a jiva, it's a right to go and pray to the Lord. It is another kind of thing, or people must beg you, please come to the temple, please pray to the Lord. No. It's a constitutional right, like a constitutional right a disciple has on his guru, to go and see the guru and ask him, My dear Gurudev, what should I do to please him? That is his constitutional right. Nobody needs to say. So similarly, we have the right over this to go and ask Krishna. But do we have the right to go and ask the Devadas? No. We don't have any right. Devada is another functional. They are carrying out some functional duty of this material world. And they are appointed to that position. And while they are doing the function, you come in disturbing. You are telling, hey, please give me, in addition to this, what I am supposed to get, this slice of cake, I want some extra cake. He says, please, like, you are disturbing me. My work I can't carry out properly. Because you are asking me something which Krishna does not sanction. I mean, He has not sanctioned this for me. Now I have to go back to Him. So, that kind of worship. That is why He is there. Go to the Supreme. Don't worry about whether you have material desire or what desire or no desire. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, there are four types of people who surrender unto Krishna. And one of them is anxiety, people who are in the material anxiety. So nowhere to go. So this is the world. That's it. All this. Channeling, you know, Krishna is trying to channel this material anxiety, the material problems. In a way, yes, what we need and we deserve and all. Yes, that's one way, you know, looking at it. But at the same time, it's also Krishna is showing us the way. Please, please, come back to me. Don't be waste. Don't waste your time there. Going to here, going to there. See? So he's giving us some nice lesson. So at the same time, the Varnasram Dharma. Why is this Varnasram Dharma Krishna puts there? It's also for this. So that the Vanaprastha sannyas, you know, after going through Brahmachari and then eventually becoming a Grahastha, he's giving a leeway. Come on. It's enough. Only the day. You can come out. I'm sure. You are already long enough in that Grahastha order and having so much of family life and problems and all that thing. So he's telling, come on, the way out is Vanaprastha and eventually to sannyas. Supposedly at that point of time when you are taking a Vanaprastha or sannyas, material desire is supposed to be closed. Not necessary. You should have realized by then. So that's the reason why this sannyas and vanaprastha is another avenue. You know, normally when they put a person there and then they try to, you know, put him under another robe, you know, there, another kind of cloth. You know, they wear different type of cloth. Sannyasi doesn't wear like that. They got their own different cloth to wear and then the color also different. All this make them also go, wait, I mean this, no, I must behave, I must keep up the name and what the duty of this sannyas order is. So therefore it is all some kind of pressure also. So these material desires are all taken off. Then finally we come to this moksha kama. Moksha kama are those people who are desiring for liberation. Normally we think that moksha means, no, it's the very highest order of perfection. Unless you can go back to Krishna, there is no perfect, or why don't that, no, go back to the Lord, Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, there is no perfect form of, you know, living. You have not come to your perfection. So, this moksha kama is also a form of desire, material desire. Because you see so much of problem. I'm always, you know, having this anxiety, that anxiety, everywhere is problem. So how do I get out of it? The best is, I think, I must get liberation. So that is also another form of Krishna. That is why in a devotee who dovetails everything for the pleasure of Krishna, to satisfy the Lord's senses. To him, there is no form of, you know, whether you are left in this world or whether you are left in the Lord decides to bring you to the spiritual world. That's no difference. That's why a sadhu, for him, there is no difference. Whether he is in this material world or he goes back to the spiritual world. His prayer is all, you can see, is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying. How, my Lord, you are my worshipable Lord, and therefore you have the right to put me here or there, anywhere, it doesn't matter. But wherever you put me, please, never should I ever forget you. That is the his prayer. Because the key thing is Krishna conscious, whether you forget the Lord or not. Now the problem is we all forget him. And not only forget, we are actually fighting against Krishna. With all kind of ideas, no, in Krishna, you can do all that. It's ridiculous. It's not possible. You can't accept so many things. And therefore, we are now purified. So we are in the... Even people like Brahman realization, impersonalists, yogis, all. Same. They are all in the material. Brahman realization, impersonalists, or even yogis. Krishna explains the Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga. All this in Bhagavad Gita. And he says, no, this is not the highest. The highest form is to surrender to me. Throw all this off. Surrender to me. That is the highest form. So similarly, Brahman, impersonalists, yogis, all is no. When a Brahman or impersonalist, even no matter how the level they can go, the highest form they can go is not into the spiritual world. No. They have no place in the spiritual world. Why? Because there is the element of servitorship missing. No service. Spiritual world what? You think it's down, nothing, down there, nothing is a boring place like anything? No. It's a place where vibrant kind of devotee worship is going on. The Lord and the devotees are exchanging their love and competing one another to serve one another. A Brahman realization, oh, everything is like Brahma Jyoti and all these things you think. Right? Impersonally, no God. God has, but there is no form. No form there to serve, nothing to serve. So you can stay here. Please. A yogi also, he can do all kind of yoga. So, what? You can do all your yoga. You can see me in, you know, eventually you can also meditate on me and see my Paramatma form. So what? You want to see your Paramatma form? Is that all your goal is? You can stay here. Your desire is satisfied, you know. So therefore he has no place. A yogi is transferred to the higher heavenly planet. Tapalok. If you are very advanced, then he goes to Tapalok. If not, Sitalok. If not, you stay here, and if you are mesmerized by the mystic power that you get, because in yogi, if you do the yoga, you'll come to a certain level where mystic yoga will be given to you. And in that mystic yoga, you are completely mesmerized. Oh, I have got this. My result is fruitful. And then you start using this mystic power and this and that, and you start walking on water, which normal people doesn't. There is no such thing as walking on water. So here he walks. So therefore he thinks, oh, everybody thinks, oh, he must be something like God. It's only just a mystic. Siddhi. So God is not so cheap as to say walk on water. He no need to walk on water. A devotee who has common sense, he can take the boat and go. It's like, you know, sometimes, you know, just appearing certain thing, you know, just making something appear in air and all this. If you are getting a watch, you can go to the shop and you can buy it. There's not a big deal of the watch. Can they give bhakti? No. And your mystic yoga is of no use. No use to me. Because bhakti is required for me to carry out my prime duty as a servitor. If that one you cannot give me, then it's no use. So, these yogis, they also don't make it. And eventually, if you see Durvasamuni, he committed a great offense under Amrish Maharaj, you should have seen. Such a great devotee, and Dubasumani is not ordinary person either. He's a great Muni. He's, you know, he can do not walk in water, he can create even planets. That powerful. He himself, after offending Amrish Maharaj, he went all over. He went to Brahma, he went to Lord Shiva, everybody. And finally to Lord Vishnu. Please help me, your Sudarshan Chakra is now going to cut me off. He's chasing after me. Lord Vishnu said, no, I'm unable to do anything about it. Sorry, I'm unable to do it. I can't do it. I don't have a power. Because you have to go back to that devotee, go back to Amrish Maharaj and take shelter. Go and ask for pardon. Back for pardon. That's what the Lord said. So you can just see what is the position of a devotee. It's very powerful. All the powers that the Lord has, the devotee technically has. It's only that instead of he administering and controlling and using that power, the Lord will decide what type to bend. Then immediately Sudarshan Chakra comes. If an ordinary person like us, do you think Sudarshan Chakra will come? No. Great devotees, immediately. So this is the power of devotee. And because why? They are surrender. They are surrender to Krishna and depending on Krishna. It's their key point. Anything, you want to cut their head, never mind. See? So therefore, the Lord will reciprocate immediately. Because he's depending on me. It is said that once you take shelter, then the Lord has he will protect you. But to what degree? It's the important thing. What degree of surrender? So then, these worshippers, like Sukadev Goswami is saying, is going to worship and he is going to develop devotional service under the and the idea of all these people going to Krishna is that eventually you end up in the devotional service and you will get your forgetfulness picked up and your seva, which is your prime duty, also being picked up. Then you are on the way back to God. That is the idea. Huh? And when you say no desires also surrender, does not mean all the fools and rascals with so much of desire, please come. You can also worship. You can worship. But Krishna will see. He will try and moderate you, try and give you as much as possible, a lot of chance and so many. But if you are not going to be intelligent, then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I will give you the intelligence to get attracted to one of the devas. And there you can go and fulfill and get all what you want. If you are not interested in this, all this surrendering and all this thing, you will channel it. That is why some people just drift, slowly drift off. But later when they go there, then they realize if they have actually been, actually taken up certain amount of Krishna consciousness, then they will realize the difference is a lot. There are many things to do. Then they tend to come back. And they will come back. The higher taste is always there. So similarly, the devotees, they look, you know, that now we are coming to the devotee level. Devotees are not in the listing except for Akama. Makama, they are devotees. And they look very simple. And people think, what power these people have. Look, the yogis, who are so powerful, they can, you know, by the, just by one stick, he opens his hand and he can just say something and that happens. He can curse anybody, he can get this, he can get that, you know, he can just by the stick of it, he gets things done. Ah, a lot of mystic yoga. Yes, it's nice. We see the power. But for a devotee, you look very simple. He's a, what is this in devotee putta and this and that, and all. He doesn't know anything. So, this is a simple thing. But people think, oh, this is very nothing. But actually, it's very, very powerful. We just read it in Bhagavatam 4.4.21. This is where Lord this Daksha carrying out this great fire sacrifice and did not invite Lord Shiva, because to him he appears like Lord Shiva is another, you know, he is not at all a person high enough to, you know, command all the respects of the great personalities whom I am inviting now. So he was thinking very low. Why? Because he puts on all these ashes and from the crematorium and this and that, and then he puts on the skull around his, oh, these are all inauspicious. This inauspicious person also should not be present in my sacrifice. So therefore, in this, and Daksha and Mother Sati is saying, Daksha has to show his appearances to impress others. He's telling, you are just showing your appearances to impress others, that's all. And what is this impressing with all this great fire sacrifice? Oh, call so many brahmanas, sit down, do something. Yes. You have the money and all these things, yes, right now. But these are all show only. She is telling, this is all show. And therefore, she is telling that you people are depending on this kind of ritualistic fire sacrifice, foods are offered to this ritualistic fire sacrifice. And Prabhupada explains that there are two kinds of foods. One is the food offered to the for the various fruitive activity fire sacrifices. So we are giving. Of course, indirectly it goes to the Lord. But nevertheless, the objective is supposed to be for material. So material. So therefore that food, that food that we get from the fire sacrifice and the fire sacrifice that we specially make for nothing but the Lord, to Vishnu, two different things. And she is classifying them differently and saying, you are eating that and we are eating this. We need not have to carry out so many fire sacrifices as you wish. We can do it with our own. Just by our will, you know, by our own this thing, we can produce, put it in front of the Lord and ask the Lord for something. Lord Shiva can do that, telling. So we need not to show all these things, but you are undermining his power. And finally, Lord Shiva, his opulences, nobody can. It's very, very easy. He has practically all the opulences. Practically all the opulences of the Lord. It's very, very powerful because he came from the Lord. See, he's an expansion also from the Lord. So therefore, if he wants to show his wonders, no problem, he can show. But he is not in the form of exhibiting this kind of thing. He is sitting down and concentrating on the Lord and praying to the Lord. That's it. That is a devotee. He doesn't go around showing, oh, I have this and I don't know, I'm so advanced of this. So in that respect, Mother Sati was so very forcefully telling him. His, his way of doing things are so very exalted and spiritually advanced is with love and devotion. It is not your this thing which you are showing and exhibiting things. Achha, you may be of my father, but this is right. So like that, and these appearances, he says, in a devotee is unmanifest. That is avyakta. Opulences are very unmanifest in a devotee. So people always think that, you know, oh, I better be like Lord Shiva's devotee. No, they are all opulent. But else, you see Lord Vishnu's devotees are the other way around. Devotees are always very poor, and you find the Lord is a devotee. Lord is good in an opulence. Because he is the Lord, so he has to be put in that position. This is the difference. Opulence, manifest or unmanifest, doesn't matter. If a devotee really thinks that he needs some opulence, the Lord will give. Like Prabhupada, he has nothing. And after that, he's driving in Rolls Royce. Not a penny belongs to him, according to him. But he is driving in all the very, very, very popular. That is the difference between devotees. And Krishna has to give, he will give. He will put him in that position. So that is, although whether you show it or don't show it, Krishna decides when to see. And so similarly, in this respect, you find that whatever is, whether you have a mixture of karma and jnana or whatever, the bhakti yoga must be there. Otherwise, this verse is a normal verse, as before. Here he puts in the intelligence and also the bhakti. With these you find that the Lord is now approachable. Otherwise your worship, no, nothing. No worship, no devotion, then the worship is not considered to be accepted. You may. So that is one, you know, this Hare Krishna, Hare Radharani, Hare Sanko Radharani. He simply telling, Lord, kindly give me the chance to serve you. That is all. That is what we are chanting every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Please give me a chance. That is what we are asking. That is a karma. That is a karma. I want to serve you. That is all. Not you serve me by giving me this or by fulfilling my orders. That is not karma. And so, this Bhagavad is now recommending, even though you are fools, fool number one, you are demanding from Krishna, that is Sarva Kama or Moksha Kama, still worship Krishna. See? Telling, it doesn't matter. Because he is still our worshipable Lord. He is our eternal Father. You may be not doing things which you actually never know. Doesn't matter. Please come. Like my chauffeur. You say, no, please come. Everybody can come. There is no such thing as, say, only this category of people can come to for Krishna Prabhupada. No. Everybody can come. So funny. Because Krishna's law is always a problem. But whether we want to take on what Krishna says and surrender to Him, that is the problem. And here Krishna is telling about the desire our bhakta has. The bhakta's desire is always about Krishna. Taking care of mercy. And just now you are reading, how Mother Yashoda. No, my son haven't come back yet. No, I must go and fetch him. Something may happen to him. I must go and she doesn't. The same goes to a devotee who prays for another. You know, when we pray for ourselves, it's considered as sense gratification. When we pray for others, it's not sense gratification. It is for the well-being of that other person's spiritual life. And it is also Krishna consciousness. And it's very powerful. When others pray, very, very powerful. Compared to ourselves praying. Ourselves praying, Krishna is only added on, you know, our sadhana, little bit here and there, some little devotion is there, and all that. And all collectively put together, then you see Krishna also. So this is how a bhakta is seen. So here the sastra is giving us the freedom to choose the kind of worship we want. Those are available, it's listed out, and on top of that we choose. And this finally Krishna says, whatever is sarva dhammam paryajanam ameva, come to my love. Don't waste time. And this verse also covers one very significant word, Purusham Param. What is Purusham Param? Who is Purusham Param? Krishna. It is clearly explained. Like Krishna, like Arjuna, he accepted Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Param. He accepted after seeing, after Krishna, hearing Krishna's word, describing about himself. He accepts. So we also accept. But we try to tell Paramam Purum Parishum, Param is actually is somebody else's thing, or somebody, you know, is suppose somebody else. We are just using our own concord of mind. But Shastrically, the acharyas are already explaining it is. So therefore there is no other question asked. We have to accept it. Because he says, well, Arjuna is saying, you are the supreme person. So full stop. This is just 5,000 years ago. Krishna is coming. And there the devotee is declaring it. So where is the question? He is saying it, including this, accepting it. So similarly, Durvasamani also said, he is in the start of Sarvakama. He has so much material desire, and that is how he went. But what happened? Did he go to the Devadas of other worship? No. Went to the Lord. And the moment he saw the Lord, it's just the darshan, just did he say that, just the darshan of the Lord. Everything is. He finds, come on, how can I ever ask this particular the Lord who is so satisfying? You know, just look and he becomes satisfied. So satisfied. How can I ask for this? How stupid it is for me to ask for a good person. Just a darshan is enough already. I don't want anything. How he became a karma? The moment he got a darshan. So this is a good example. And eventually, you know, all these people who are desires and even moksha kamas and all are excited to get, as long as you are attached to the Lord and worshipping the Lord, then finally you will come to that path of worship. And here in Bhagavatam 10:81-16, Sudama, you know Sudama Putra? He is a great devotee. So after seeing Krishna, he is going back. So while returning from Dwarka, Sudama is now thinking. So in this verse, he is asking, he is actually thinking in his mind, who am I? Who am I? A sinful, poor friend of a Brahmana. Thinking of himself as a poor friend of a Brahmana. And then who is Krishna? And he is saying he is the supreme personality of Godhead, full in six opulences. He is the supreme personality of Godhead, full in all the six. Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. See? To that devotee, like Sudama, he is feeling that embrace is enough, life after life. My Lord, I don't want anything else. That one, this thing is enough. Because you are so merciful. You are such a great, great, great personality, which I am nowhere. And still you impress me. You know, it is said in that, if you read that chapter, when Sudama came, Krishna brought him there and he asked Rukmini, please go and prepare all the water and all these things to wash his feet. And Krishna washed his feet. Sudama doesn't want, no, my Lord, no. But he said, no, sit down. You are my unalloyed devotee. I take it as a great pleasure to do that. What is the position? Just look. That is why in spiritual realm, all comes equal. You cannot expect equality in material realm. No equality. There will be equality. But in a spiritual realm, the devotee and the Lord, they reciprocate one another. I want to serve you, Krishna wants to serve me. You know, like this, you know. So, I want to serve more. Krishna wants to serve more. So it is going on, same like a love. We love the Lord wants to love us more. We want to love more than that. We want to do more service, more lovingly. And it goes on and on, the competition goes on. And that's no end. The Lord is trying to win. The devotee is trying to win. Nobody. Because it increases and increases to such a level that both of them just forget one another. And just waiting for a chance. And completely. And in the Braja themselves where Prabhupada is talking about the Akama spirit, the Lord says, I am in that. Indebted to you, there is nothing I can do to you. If you don't have the desire, no desire, then what can he give? The same thing in Sudama's case. After when Rukmini asked, my dear Lord, it's so terrible, you know, your mercy is so fantastic. You are just throwing mercy so much. You are pouring. And Rukmini was the one who stopped him. third time, you know, when he was about to give the cheap price, he says, no, stop. Because the third one, if you are given, then Rukmini will also become the maidservant of Sudama. Even that of the gift, go, my wife of the horse, she will serve you. Like that, you know, this must happen. So, and what did the Lord say? How can I repay? I gave something which I had. It's my, in my possession. All these palaces, opulences, whatever you see, all this is my possession. So I give it out. So what? So what great about that? I have, I can give. It's nothing so new. But Sudama, he brought me something which he doesn't have at all. The cheap price is not his. He went back. His house was empty. Nobody. The wife says, no, 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 I'll go. I'll go to the neighbors. So when the neighbors and back and get it. For whose pleasure? For Krishna's pleasure. So when he brought it, he said, how can I? In that case, I cannot repay this. Even if I give him the 3 words, or even my seat, no use. I cannot replace. I cannot repay him. So similarly, when we have $100 in our pocket, we take that $100 and then give it to somebody. That is not very good. Because that is, we already have it. But if we can go out, go and get it from someone for the pleasure of the Lord. That is great. That is why preaching activity is very, 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 very hard. You know, distributing the books, very hard. Because it is for the pleasure of the Lord. This is all very difficult to do. So therefore, the Lord is very, very merciful, and anyone who takes to Krishna conscious takes shelter of Krishna. It's automatic. You are, if you are taking to Krishna consciousness, means automatically you are taking shelter of Krishna. Therefore, he is a perfect intelligent man. This is not my words, but this is what Prabhupada says in one of the lectures. So we will stop here and see if there is any questions or comments. Yes.
Thank you for this wonderful class. Probably my question is that bhakti is defined as you said, akama, alpha. So, when it is said that a person who even desires the for his own self-interest, has a very material desire, even if that person worship the Supreme God, is it still bhakti or is it like for no reason? Can we define it as bhakti?
No, it's not bhakti. For a start, he's not on the bhakti platform at all. Okay. He's asking for himself. But this is broader intelligence which is expected to develop certain amount of bhakti, and then it becomes a mixture of bhakti. Then as we go along, then this mixture or these low residues or ideas of what is material thing is supposed to be done. So when that is also seeked off, then you can go bhakti. So for a start, no. That is not bhakti. Anybody else? Anything? any comments? Because there are so many other points that we have not covered. Okay, then we will stop here. Alandra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananda Koti Vaishnavanda ki. Prabhupada ki jai, Sadhguru ji.